how God's people are judged. We will be studying Malachi chapter 3. Having pointed out that a great abomination is set up, and that the sanctuary is profaned, and that Israel has departed and become a harlot, behold, I will send my messenger. Now this messenger is first John the Baptist, and then Jesus Christ himself. Now when John the Baptist comes, he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom he seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Now there are two things happening here. John the Baptist is going to prepare for Christ's first coming, and then Christ is going to come unexpectedly into his temple. Now this had an application too, according to Haggai 2:7, in Christ's coming into the second temple. But it's got overtones of eschatology that lead right forward to the second coming of Christ. The Lord is the messenger of the covenant. It is Jesus Christ, whom he delight in. He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who will abide the day of his coming? Now what coming is he dealing with here? He shall stand, when he appeareth, like refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Refiner's fire cleanses, burns away the dross, and fuller's soap shrinks and washes. He shall sit, Daniel 7:13, as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify his priests, the sons of Levi, and purge them, take away the dross, as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Jerusalem and Judah be pleasant. Now the Lord has said in chapters 1 and 2 that he won't accept the offering from these priests that are defiled. Now he's looking to a group of kings and priests who are clean in his sight, whose offerings are acceptable. And I will come near to you in judgment. Now this is the coming. Verse 2. Who shall abide the day of his coming? What coming is this? Verse 5. I will come near to you in judgment. Now this is the judgment of 1844. The ultimate fulfillment of his suddenly coming into his temple in verse 1 is the coming in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8. I will come near to you in judgment. I will be a witness. Revelation 3 says he is the faithful and true witness. Against sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, oppressors, widows, oppressors of widows and fatherless, turn aside the stranger. Now in Revelation 18:2, the people who claim to worship God have become sorcerers and adulterers and false swearers too. And they don't fear God. In Revelation 14:6, they fear God. So here you get the contrast. I am the Lord, I change not. So the same Jesus who came here on earth, who cleansed the temple on earth, who came into his temple suddenly, will one day come in his spiritual temple that they have defiled, in his sanctuary, and he will come as the judge. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my laws and ordinances. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Here again, self-justifying. Wherein? And then he continues, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? in tithes and offerings. In returning to him, they weren't wholeheartedly on his side, and they self-justified their action. In giving tithes and offerings, they were robbing God. And yet they are self-justifying. Where have we robbed God? Every Christian is duty-bound to pay God a tenth of his increase. That's the tithe. This is the law. There's no generosity on our part in giving tithes. They are our due. Now the offerings are indexes of our generosity. God checks our loyalty and obedience by whether we pay tithe or not, and God checks our generosity and kindness by the size of our offerings. Now, just as he had told through Haggai, the people of Israel, that because of their disobedience, their crops and their business was ineffective, so he's telling them through Malachi, you are cursed because you have robbed me. Bring all the tithes to the treasury. Now, if you read Numbers 10:38, the storehouse is translated treasury. Bring your tithes to the treasurer, that there may be meat in my house, and test me. Prove me, test me. Now, with this, herewith, by doing this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you will not have room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer, that's literally the locust, because you are doing this for your sake, he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for he shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this is a challenge that the Lord issues. Prove me now herewith, by returning the tithe, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. I was challenged one time, many, many years ago, I was beginning evangelism, by a young salesman, just married, who told me he couldn't afford tithes. In fact, he brought a balance sheet, every penny he made and all his outgo, and he says, I can't afford to pay tithe on my salary, I'm in debt. And I thought of this verse, and with a pounding heart and a little scare, I said to him, why not put a bowl or a vase on top of your mantel shelf and put your tithe in there every week when you get your paycheck? And then after 3 months, see whether the Lord has kept this promise. And if he has, if he supplied all your needs, more than you can ask or think, then pay him your tithe. But if he doesn't, then take your tithe and forget about God. And he said, fair enough. But you know, before the 3 months were over, he came to me with an envelope full of his tithe. He says, I don't know how things are happening. I don't know where these resources are coming from. But my wife and I are surprised every week or so with what the Lord is doing for us. Here's the tithe. It works. And everyone who has proved God or tested God has found that God lives up to his word. Verse 13. Your words have been stout against me. In fact, all through this book, the problem with Israel is their smart alecky talking back to God. Your words have been stout against me, arrogant, high-handed, hard, bold. Yet ye say, What have we spoken against thee? Ye have said, it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? We is in the emphatic position. What profit did we get from obeying him? We can't get any fun in life. We go mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, that work, those that work wickedness, are set up. They that tempt God and forget him, they are the ones that are delivered. What an attitude. Then they that feared the Lord. See, among these people were some who feared the Lord. Ye have done this. You're saying, we are doing this. We are doing this. Now we call the proud happy. Then they that feared the Lord. Now he says, you don't fear God. The fear of God is not. But there were some who did. Then they that feared the Lord talked to each other. The Lord listened, heard it, made a book of remembrance before him that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Speechless. See, they talked about him. They hearkened and heard. They spoke one to another, but they also thought about his name. Externally they witnessed, internally his name, his character was fixed. And God responds, they shall be mine. In that day that I make up my special jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his only son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Sheep and goats, the wheat and the tares, the right and the wrong. Now in this third chapter, we have overtones of the judgment. God is a refiner. God is a judge. He judges in his temple. He comes suddenly. He remonstrates with his people in areas of need, tithing, talking, attitudes, and promises that his book of remembrance will be an accurate record and he will be a faithful witness. And one day he will come to gather together his jewels. And on that day he will separate the good from the bad, the righteous from the wicked, him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. So as we think of the end, the goal, the judgment, how should we relate ourselves to the truths, the covenant, the call that God gives to us to live a life of humility, grace, of affinity with him, joined to the bridegroom as a chaste virgin. And if we do this, when the time of separation and the great divorce comes, we will be found, recorded in his book, ready to be jewels in his crown.